14 this morning. So anybody needs to borrow a Bible if you're an adult? Revelation chapter 14. No? Adults need to borrow a Bible? What about your kids down here? Let's see. Oh, yeah, about every one of them, Josue. Okay. When I said kids, you raise your hand. Okay. Over here, we need one. And we need a couple up front. Revelation chapter 14. We'll give you a minute to find that. It's the last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 14. So if you start from the end and turn left, you'll find it much faster that way. That's why your car looks the way it does. Revelation chapter 14, verse 7. Revelation chapter 14, verse 7. If you have that, stand and stretch in honor for the reading of God's Word. We're just going to read one verse this morning. I'll probably read it twice, but one verse. Revelation chapter 14, verse 7 says this, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him. For the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." Let me read that one more time. Saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." And this morning I want to talk to you about what God expects from us. Let's pray, and then you may be seated. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we ask you, Lord, this morning that you would come now and speak through me, Father. Speak to us about what God expects from us. We pray for that this morning in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. I think any Christian who truly wants to please God would want to know what God expects from them. Any Christian who truly wants to please God would want to know what God expects from this. I think knowing His expectations would help any Christian life. Knowing His expectations would help any Christian live a better life, I'll say. I often tell people that God always gives the answer to everything in life. And He does. There isn't any answer God doesn't have. God has the answer to everything in life. Amen. God has not placed you on earth without giving you the expectations for how you should live. And the verse truly shows us what the expectations that God has for us. I mean, it gives three things there, and we're going to talk about them this morning in that verse. It's the same with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. It gives three things there. Let's pull them out this morning so you can see them clearly. But each of these expectations that are found there will help you become a better Christian. Number one this morning, first of all, God expects you to fear Him. God expects you to fear Him. The verse says what? Fear God. Fear God. I think that's probably one of the most misunderstood subjects in the Bible, is the fear of God. In the Scriptures, most people do not seem to truly understand what that means. And it's many believe the fear of God is having an attitude of fear or trembling type of a thing, or being afraid of, perhaps, of Him. But I don't think God wants anybody to be afraid of Him in that manner. That's not exactly what's meant by the fear of God. You're afraid of somebody because of what they might do to you. And I suppose to a certain degree, that's not entirely accurate. God certainly can bring his judgment. Amen. But when it comes to the fear of God, what he's really talking about is having respect of his power, or having respect of his capabilities and power, what he's able to do. Having respect for who he is. Amen. Having respect for the fact that he's the creator of all the earth. Amen. Having respect for the fact that he made heaven and hell. Amen. Having respect for the fact that he made the sunshine out there. Having respect that he made the moon that shines at night. Having respect that he made every one of those stars out there and placed them exactly where he wanted to be. Amen. Have respect that there could be no life on this earth had God not given the breath of life for it to be able to happen. To have respect for that. Who he is. What his power is. What he's capable of. Not in the sense of afraid, but the sense of respect. Years ago, one of our missionaries and his wife came here. They have a camper. They wanted to stay in our back lot. We had no electrical connections for any kind of a camper, like what this individual had. Well, for any camper, for that matter, or trailer, for like what this individual had. They got quite the outfit. But anyway, this person talked me into letting him install a outlet back here to be able to hook up to for a camper or camper connection. I guess you call it a camper. I know it's more like a small semi. But anyway, they talked me into having a connection put in, or they wanted to put the connection in back here. So they said, so all of our missionaries that come can stay there. And so they wanted to, they talked me into letting them install one. Now, for the life of me, I can't imagine why anybody would want to stay back there, but but this person wanted to, and actually has a couple times. Believe it or not, we've never had anybody else come along that's wanted to for some reason, but typically when we have missionaries and so forth come through, they don't come with their own campers and trailers and all that business, or evangelists or whatever. But we have the outlets for it now, right? And so anyway, they talked me into letting them put one in. So I went with him to the store. I think we went to Lowe's or someplace and bought all the supplies they'd need. It was like less than $100 for what they needed. They said they could do all the work themselves. I said, you know, I hope so. You know, and so I said they could put in the necessary outlet that was needed and tap right into our power box downstairs that was needed to and put it out there and everything. And so we got back here and I said, okay. I said, what can I do to help? You know, I said, I'll help you put this in. And, you know, and they said, are you an electrician? I said, no, definitely not. So they said, mostly what you can do is just go ahead and stay out of my way so I can be clear to work, free to work, because when I'm working with this here, I don't want, you know, anything to happen or go wrong putting this in. Now, here's what he knew. He knew that inside our power box was the power that he needed, and he needed to get it to a place where he could get to it, where his wife and him could live or stay while they were here in their camper comfortably, because the power source is there that they need. They've just got to be able to get it to them so they can live comfortably in that trailer back there, have some power, some outlet to get to, and have the power source they need. But he also knew that, he had enough knowledge and respect and so forth for it to know how to get out there and know how to do it. But he also knew that somebody else who doesn't have the same respect or fear or attitude about this power, that it could be harmful to them. So if I don't know what I'm doing, or anybody else doesn't know what they're doing, he said, you know, basically wanted you to stay out of the way because you might get hurt. Because if you do the wrong thing, there's a lot of power here, electrocute yourself, and you'd be dead. So he knew, he had great respect for the electrical power that was available in our power box downstairs, and he knew what it could do. It could help him live comfortably. Amen. But he also knew I could get hurt if I didn't respect it in the same way that he did. Amen. Now, that's exactly what the fear of God is, folks. Amen. Fearing God is realizing that his power can help you to do the works that he commands you to do. However, that same power can hurt you if you don't live according to his word. God expects you to fear him, not so that you can get hurt, but that you can use his power to serve him. Use his power to serve him. Amen. Let's see what the Bible says. Just listen. You won't have time to get to these, but Psalm 64:9 says this, "And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of his doing." Psalm 66:16, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." Psalm 67:7 says, "God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him." Proverbs 2:5, "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God." Amen. They go hand in hand there. Ecclesiastes 3:14, "I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him." Ecclesiastes 5:7, "For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also diverse vanities, but fear thou God." Ecclesiastes 8:12, "Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them," listen now, "that fear God, and which fear before him." Ecclesiastes 12:13, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." God expects us to fear. Amen. Number two, secondly, God expects you and I to give him glory. God expects you to give him glory. That's what he expects. Amen. So God expects you to fear him, and God then expects you to give him glory. That's what God expects. Amen. That's what the verse said. Amen. You're still there in Revelation 14:7, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God." And then what's it say? "And give," you with me, class? "Glory to him." And give glory to him. So we are to give him glory. With everything you do in life and everything I do in life, we should always strive to give God the glory. Amen. God the glory. Too many Christians want to take credit when they should be giving credit to God, I fear. Christian, God deserves the credit for your success because he is the one who gives you the wherewithal to do those things. See, it starts with the fear, amen. Once you fear and respect him like you should, in other words, amen, he'll be able to use you to do some things with that power that he has access to, amen. But then when you do, guess what you're supposed to do? Give him the glory. Give him the glory, the credit for it, amen. That's what you're supposed to do. Give him the glory, amen. Don't become so self-centered that you try to take the credit that belongs to God. If you will lift God up by giving him credit in return, he will lift you up in the eyes of man. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Let us not be robbing God of his rightful glory. Amen. Let us not do that. Great things happen in ministries, and maybe a ministry we work in. Maybe we teach a Sunday school class. Maybe we work in another area, and something great happens. It seems like things are going good. And what do? We want to give a pat on the back to ourselves. We want to give ourselves all the credit. We want to give ourselves all the glory. Hey, that glory belongs to God. Amen. That glory is what God should be rightfully getting, not yourself, not ourselves. It's not us that does anything great, but it's rather God that does the things that are great. We should always make sure we give him full credit, because it's never us, but always him. The Bible says in Romans 1:23, "And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." Folks, society today has changed the glory of God. They've changed the glory of God. The tree huggers have coined terms like Mother Earth, which there is no such things. Hey, boys and girls better remember that, because at school they'll tell you different. They'll tell you it's Mother Earth. There is no such thing as Mother Earth. There's God who created Earth. Amen. And he's a father, not a mother. Amen. There is no such thing as Mother Earth. You take care of Mother Earth, and Mother Earth will take care of you. No, you take care of your obligation to God, and God will take care of you. Amen. That's what it is. That's what it is. Don't let them fool you with that junk. That's what they pump in and pump in and pump in and pump in. But that's what the Bible said would happen. Amen. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, into birds and the four-footed beasts and creeping things. They've taught us and are teaching us to worship the creation instead of the Creator. To worship animals. To worship things that God has created. Plant life. So forth. What have they done? They've stolen God's glory. They've stolen God's glory. That's what they've done. They've stolen the credit. Idol worshippers have made idols that have taken the place of God, stealing His glory. In other parts of the world, they worship things like cows in certain religions. A cow. So don't eat that cow. You might be eating somebody's uncle. Medium rare, folks. Amen. Medium rare. Don't give me no soy burgers. Amen. Go ahead and kill the cow. Amen. What did they say when he came home? Amen. Kill the fatted calf. Amen. That's what they said. Kill the fatted calf. So, don't let them fool you. It's that sacred cow. Man, you got a country that's so overcrowded. Amen. On the other side of the world. And what are they doing? They're getting out of the way of some stupid cow somewhere. Oh, get out of the way. That's a sacred cow. Amazing. I'll tell you what, man. They ever get themselves straightened up and get saved over there, McDonald's could really flourish. Amen. Go ahead. They got plenty of cows around there. Amen. People starving to death, and they got cows sitting right there, and they won't kill them and eat them. Amen. God created the animals for man, not man for the animals. Don't you ever forget that. Amen. It's the truth. Amen. They've robbed God's glory. Amen. That's a man that knows how to eat hamburgers. Amen. And if that is how the world is treating him, then how much worse for us believers to treat him that way. The world treats him that way. And they will, and they will continue to do so. How in the world can we jump on the bandwagons of groups of people that do things like that, though? How in the world can we rob him of his glory by taking his credit for ministry success we have? Let that this morning not be us. Let me give you one more thing that God expects from us. Amen. Let's look back at our verse 7 here. Say with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him. For the hour of His judgment is come, and notice this statement, and what? Worship Him. You can guess number 3, then finally God expects you to worship Him. Finally God expects you to worship Him. Amen. Worshiping God is not going to church. But worshiping God is living a life that is pleasing to Him. So it's much more than just going to church. Much more than that. It's living a life that is pleasing to Him. The Bible says in Psalms 29:2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. And then it says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Notice holiness is what God calls worship. That's interesting, isn't it? You should write that down. Psalms 29:2. I should take the time to have you look it up. But give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. Holiness is what God's calling worship in that verse of Psalms 29:2. In other words, every time you do right, you know what? You're worshiping God. You're worshiping God by doing that which is right. Doing that which is right. Doing that which is right. So holiness is what God calls worship. Amen. 1 Peter 1:15. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. The word conversation is an interesting word. The word conversation at almost all times in the Bible. Elizabeth, come down here and sit by your siblings, please. They're not mature enough and old enough to sit by themselves, and it's clearly obvious. The word conversation means lifestyle almost every time it's used in the Bible. Here's what's being said. If you want to fulfill God's expectation of worshiping Him, then be sure to live a life that would please Him. That would please Him. Live a life that be pleasing to Him. See, that's the key. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. A life is pleasing to God. True worship is holiness. Amen. So by doing right, you are worshiping God. How do we do that, preacher? Well, how about reading your Bible every day? Amen. How about praying every day? Amen. How about blessing the food before you eat it? Amen. How about going to church? Amen. I didn't say going to church wasn't a part of it. I said it wasn't all of it. Amen. How about showing up to all the services? Amen. How about going soul winning? Amen. How about giving out gospel tracts? Amen. How about giving financially to the work of God? How about dressing modestly? How about talking decently? Amen. How about letting your neighbors and friends actually know that you truly are a Christian? Amen. How about letting your boss at work know you are a Christian? Amen. How about being one of the hardest workers down at the job site, especially after you let them know that you are a Christian? Amen. If you are a poor worker and you're about to get fired, then maybe you better not tell him, huh? Oh, boy. Listen, let's worship God as we should by living for Him. Amen. Worship God as you should. Amen. Too many think it involves wearing robes and burning candles. That's not worship. Too many think it involves some sevenfold amen anthem being given out. Too many think it's about swaying back and forth and uttering a bunch of jibber-jabber that nobody can understand. Too many think it involves a bunch of people down at the front somewhere in some service somewhere doing the skunk skedaddle and the dish rag twist and playing the saxophone and dancing around. They think that's worship. Too many think it involves standing around in a circle holding hands and singing Kumbaya. I told Brother Geyser to stop it. I said, that's not worship. Too many think it involves something it's not. God tells us what He's looking for, though, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 when He says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God wants us to be a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they had a dead sacrifice. Amen. What He wants is for a living sacrifice, meaning the living of our life for Him. That's what He wants. God didn't want us just to perform some ritual for an hour or two a week, then live like the devil the rest of the week and come back on Sunday and think you're all right again. That's not what God wants. God wants you to be a living sacrifice. He wants you to live for Him as a Christian life instead of living for yourself all the time. That's true worship. That's what God expects. He expects us to worship Him by living our life for Him. God's expectations are not unreal, folks. You'll find that if you obey one of these expectations, then you will obey them all, is the truth, because all three expectations are interwoven with each other. I challenge you to start every day reminding yourself what God expects from you. Amen. What does He expect? He expects you to fear Him. Amen. What does He expect? He expects you to give Him the glory. What does He expect? According to Revelations 14:7, He also expects you to worship Him. To worship Him. All three are interwoven. All three go. If you will live according to God's expectations for you, then you will most certainly please Him with your life. I promise you that. That's what God expects. Let's stand to our feet. What God expects from us.